7th is to hear us recap the finale of Citadel, entitled Secrets in Night Need Early Rains, whatever that means. I am here with my co-host, my co-agent, Marissa Garza. Marissa, how are you?
I'm on a red... Oh, I just forgot it. Red check mission. Red
red cell mission.
Again.
Whatever red cell mission means. We of course do not get a real understanding of why is it called a red cell mission?
No clue.
What is the point of it? They just tell us things to tell us and don't explain anything.
But then they explain some things multiple times.
Yes. Yes. We are here to celebrate the ending of Citadel season one in a episode full of shockers and twists and turns. Unless you listen to this podcast in an episode two, where I pretty much predicted all of this that was going to happen.
Yeah, you were pretty spot on a lot of it.
Yeah, so I mean, if I can figure out your twists and turns, I don't know what you do on TV shows.
I mean, this was written before the AI of it all. That's a big question.
Maybe I have to join the writer's staff for season two.
Because I apparently
think along the lines of these writers. So, you know,
I
should get myself a TV job.
Amazon, if you're listening, you can reach Jason at JR1085 on Twitter.
I'm here and I'm ready. I don't even cost that much. I will be a scab. I'm not scared. Your boy needs money. I don't care.
Well, you heard it here first.
Yes. So, you know, like I said, we're here to wave bon voyage to the Citadel. And shockingly for me, at the end of this episode, find that there is a new Citadel coming relatively soon. In a, you know, I mean, 2024, but, you know, still a half a year away.
We can wait like that long. Can you wait?
Yeah, I mean, looks like it's been shot already, edited. We had no idea this was going to happen. We knew that we were told before this came out there would be international spinoffs and all that, but I didn't know they were already shot and in the can and ready to go. If you stay tuned through the end of the episode, you saw Citadel, Diana, whatever that is. it is apparently the Italian version of Citadel. It's the Italian spinoff. Now, Bruce and I discussed this in the pre-show. We both thought that person was Abby in the trailer, but we have come to find out that it's not Abby. It's a totally different character, a totally different person. So we'll see.
What if it's like Abby's face?
What if it's a twin or a triplet? Because she already has a twin brother that she didn't know about.
Exactly.
That was in the near-ish future. But until then, let's dive in to the season finale of Citadel. Episode 6, the season finale. Only 6 episodes of this thing. We got 10 whole extra minutes of Citadel content this week. Not 40 or 39 as we've been getting, but 49 minutes. I guess we need time to show this trailer for the Italian version. So, probably still around the same amount of content we usually get.
Yeah.
But we come in on this episode. We get the Chiron, Serbia. 30 years ago, we of course have to come in upside down and start to get our way right side up.
Are you going to miss that? Is that something you're going to miss?
I'm not going to miss the motion sickness. Yeah, not going to miss the motion sickness every week. We are in kind of like a seemingly a hospital, a triage zone, maybe. We come upon this little boy all alone as there are people being worked on, and it's like a
war zone MASH hospital situation. Yeah.
And we see this little boy all alone. And I mean, in my notes, I said, Mason? ? as the show likes to do, we flash back and forth through time all over the place. We then see 6 months later from the 30 years ago. And we see the boy again. He's laying in bed. He's kind of experiencing a little bit of PST from whatever he's been through. He hears explosions. He hears yelling. And his grandmother comes to get him out of bed. She talks about how his dad was also so nocturnal. And, you know, his dad, they should not get up until 2 o'clock in the afternoon. The boy, you know, tells his grandma he really misses his dad. And he asks if his mom's coming back soon. Where is his mom? Grandma says, well, your mom has been traveling, but no use to focusing on that. Focus on things that only you can change. We then see the boy watching TV. He's watching a show or a movie. Now, I probably could have looked this up. I probably could have found this. I did not. He's watching a show or movie where a person apparently is getting a whole new identity, a whole new face, it seems, because as the person gets, their face revealed, we see that it's a different face. We see his face all stitched up. And it's something, I guess, of a face-off starring Nick Cage and John Travolta type of situation where he has a brand new face.
I was like, are we in Face Off now?
Is this the old-timey version of Face
Off?
In a voiceover, we get Mason talking again about, we kind of flashback to the moment where he and Nadia are in that restaurant and he's telling her why he was a spy. He says the Citadel gave him an identity, and you know, his dad died, his mom left, the Citadel was the only person that gave, was the only thing that gave him an identity. Mm-hmm. We then see, you know, seemingly post restaurant breakup of Nadia and Mason. Mason is so upset, he punches a mirror.
Yeah, and this is like intercutting with like the whole like new face stuff. Yeah. Like there was a lot happening in this moment, but they really spent the budget on the broken mirror.
Yeah, it's deep. It's so deep. Mason's so upset. He punches this mirror because Nadia is the love of his life. Nadia, according to him, is the only person he could be himself with. And we're just like, since when? How? Where?
When did this love story happen? I don't know. I don't know.
We then come over to Morocco, present day. Dahlia is telling her agents that, you know, is telling, you know, our Citadel people, would like to call the Three Stooges, Carter, Nadia, and Mason. She is letting them know, hey, if you try anything or try and, you know, muck with me and what we're trying to do here, I'm going to kill your daughter. Mason says, well, we need to know that she's safe. So
this is like straight out of like, this is Kyle, like thinking like straight out of a movie. He's like, I know what to do.
Yeah,
I know what to ask. You have to ask the hostage. Yeah, that's it.
I need a newspaper next to her face with today's date on it.
Yeah.
So Dahlia gets one of her agents to show him a kind of a live stream of Asha, who is, you know, Mason and Nadia's kid. And we see Nadia looking up like, oh my God, it's my baby. So we get to the hangar of wherever we're going to be going. You know, we get out of the cars. I like to note these dumb, small things.
Important things.
Because a moment ago, all our Three Stooges were together in the same car being explained about, you know, what they have to do. But then we get to here, and somehow Nadia has been separated from Carter and Mason because they get out of separate cars. I'm just like, that's sloppy to me. That's just a sloppy inconsistency in my mind.
Yeah, I mean, people always talk about the Starbucks cup, but this is also like not good when it comes to continuity. And, you know, if there was a reason that they were separated, it would have been nice to know as a viewer, like maybe something happened on the way. Maybe there was like some kerfuffle. I have no idea, but it just, now it just looks sloppy.
Yeah, it seems like they shot this scene. Because I know we are aware of a lot of the production issues that that occurred on the set of Citadel. There was a lot of change of director, showrunner. So maybe they shot this where they came in the separate cars, and then later they're like, you know what? We need a real scene of like how they understand they're not to mess with what's going on here, or Asha will be killed. Let's shoot a scene with them in the car. No one was like, well, we shot them in separate cars, so that might be an issue. Like, don't worry about
or
it.
Or maybe they were, and they're like, we are running out of money.
Yeah, we can't afford to do this twice.
All of the money. So we're just going to do with what we have.
Yeah. So we're in the hangar or wherever we are, where the jet's going to take off. And they're told that, you know, they're basically told the mission. You guys are going to be taking over the Pacific Ocean. You're going to be partnering up with Davik. You're going to hack into the submarine. You're going to get on board and get those nuclear codes for the nukes for me. Then you're going to go to Valencia for the exchange. So Nadia, they're on the jet. Nadia says, listen, I'm going to run this op. This is my daughter that, you know, I'm going to go get it. I'm going to take care of this. And I say, not so fast, Nadia. Mason is the only one equipped to do this, because it's his bio lock that was installed on the nuke. And we're also told he did this against orders. So he was not supposed to install just his biometric signature on the nukes. I guess it was supposed to be so that any Citadel agent could do it, but he made it so that only his biometrics could unlock this.
Little sus right now. Like they're really like pointing the finger at Mason at this point.
So Carter knows this, right? Carter knows that Mason did this, and he's still wondering who the Citadel spy is. It must have been Nadia. It must be the Citadel spy, not Mason, who against orders put his own biometric lock on so only he could operate the nukes.
That's on the patriarchy. That's
not suspicious at all. What are we doing here?
I don't know.
So we then flashback again to 8 years ago, and we get the kind of backstory behind this initial mission where Mason put his biometrics on. We find out that this is a red cell mission, whatever that means. We don't know why it's called red cell. I think even Mason asked, what is a red cell mission? And no one answers him.
We never know. I like took it to be like, I'm like, is this a capstone project in grad school? Is this your thesis? Like, because it was referred to as like Mason's red cell mission. Like, it's like, does everyone get a different one? Is this like a pin that you get? You just graduate? I don't really understand.
Are you an official spy once you get the mission done? Yeah. I think this will be a pretty important mission to do that with. If you're not a certified agent, I don't know why you want to put you on this mission.
But you get extra clearance. I don't know. But it was like, does everyone get their own? We still don't know.
Mason, we think you're ready. We're giving you the red cell mission.
There's nothing. I mean, other than a real stretch to the hunt for Red October being on a submarine, there's nothing red about this mission.
Nothing. Like, there's nothing. So we come across, because I mean that's what it's called. It's literally just called Red Cell Mission Debriefing. We get Grace like debriefing the team on what's gonna happen. We're being told that Mason is going to get on board the sub, and we're going to hack into the sub and really just make it so that if Citadel really needs to get access to this Russian sub, that with this little chip that Mason's gonna put in, we can get it. Mason is acting pretty weird in this moment. We can tell he's probably up to something. Mm-hmm. And Grace is like, are you okay? You good, Mason? Because he's obviously distracted. Mason says, well, I mean, listen, if you can get somebody better for the job, then do it. Maybe you should call Nadia, because I can't call Nadia. Maybe you can call Nadia. He's like, no, seriously, call Nadia.
I was like, yo, just chill. Just chill for a little bit. Because also in the scene, Grace is like, are you with me? Yeah, I'm with you. Then act like it. It was so dramatic for like, I don't know what reason, because they still don't know what the stakes are, because they still don't know what a red cell mission is.
And then like even a little later in this like same kind of sequence, we get a little mini scene of Grace and Mason meeting in a room. He's like, listen, I need you to tell me where Nadia is. I really need to know. I mean, he is obsessive about this at this point, to a scary degree.
Yeah, and I mean, last it was like a breakup.
She said she don't want to see you again. Take the hit and be over it. She left the country to get away from you. She don't want to see you. He's like, I need you to tell me where she is now. And Grace is insisting that Nadia is in Berlin. He's like, I know that's a lie. She's like, listen, that's all I got for you. I don't know what you want me to do for you. So we're gonna back in the present. They're on the plane, still getting ready for the op. They're walking through the mission. Nadia says, I hope you're up for this. No, I'm sorry, this is even before they take off for the mission. He says, yeah, I hope so too. So they take off for the mission. I don't know why we needed that little scene, but we got
no idea.
And then we go back to 8 years ago, back on the red cell mission. Mason is on the plane. He makes his jump. He gets on the sub. He places his chip, which is supposedly supposed to, at this point, do whatever.
I don't really understand what he was trying to accomplish. Like, he had like this chip thing that was like programmed to his, they said like endochromatic signature, which is like your hormones.
Right.
And so it's like, okay. So he was supposed to put that on there and then also do one other thing. And it's just like he gets there and it goes bloop, and then the radio crackles, so you know he's up to no good, and then it's like, gotta go.
Well, I mean, so here's what happens, right? So I guess this chip is supposed to, I think they even use the words, give them a back door into the sub.
Yeah,
so that's the first thing. That was really the only thing he was supposed to do. Okay, give them a way to get into the sub. I don't think the biometrics thing even came into play at that point. This is just supposed to be a way they can hack into the sub and get it. Which I don't know why they have this perfect sized module where you can place this hackable chip into. Like, this is a for some reason, this is a perfect thing to put a chip in that you can hack this sub. That in and of itself is ridiculous, where this just has a ready-made module to hack into this sub.
And you're going underwater, the chip could fly off. Like, I don't understand.
And so at that point, Mason turns off his like walkie-talkie communicator thing, which is then when he decides to put in this other thing that is a long ovalish rectangle type thing that again fits perfectly into this module, like, and as if it's labeled, like, this is where you put the other hacky thing. Like, okay, just plug that in. And
Legos is harder. Legos is harder than this.
Yeah, exactly. This is a instruction manual. Place hacking chip here. Place secret little hacky thing into this port. And I don't know why he needs to turn his walkie off for this, because it took like 2 seconds. He just puts the thing in. It's not like they have a camera on him. And so he puts the thing in, which I guess is the thing that will tune it to his biometrics specifically. Okay, so that's what gives him and only him access to whatever. Okay, so he turns the little walkie off. So like, oh, he turned his stuff off. That's weird. So he turns back on. He's like, yeah, it was some interference. I'm ready to be picked up. So he gets picked up by the plane. Okay. Mm-hmm. Nonsense stuff. I just could not get over the fact that this little module pops up, and it's the perfect thing to, like, all right, I thought what they were going to do was like place this adhesive chip here and then we can hack into the stuff, but no, this was a perfect hole where it's just like, if you want to hack this up, this is where you do it.
Well, between that and what happens later with Nadia and with the missiles, I was like, they didn't even try. They didn't even try to do anything creative here. It was just like, do the thing, A to B. That's it.
This is a paint by numbers spy show.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's crazy. But okay. All right. Ready? Back to the present day where we're now on the way to the sub, on the plane. Mason thinks this is the perfect time to get into the deep dive about why Nadia did not tell him about Asha, their child. She says, listen, that's not what the focus is right now. You need to focus on your jump right now. So we see Davik popping in. He's like, you better be ready for this. Mason's get ready to jump. He does. He, you know, Mason, AKA Kyle, who we've gone over this, is a week ago was a PE teacher in Oregon.
Yeah,
is now ready to jump out of this plane and parachute onto the submarine.
Memories fade, but skills don't. Okay. Yeah.
We find out later that just because your memories are wiped, you still got the skills, even though logically you would need the memories of how to ascertain said skills to have the skills.
I mean, I think there is some truth to muscle memory.
There's muscle memory, like, reflexes, but I just feel like
also the brain not freaking out about jumping out of a plane in the storm and landing on a submarine. I feel like that would be heavily impacted by remembering that I've done this before.
Yeah, because Mason's done this before, but he doesn't remember that he has. Mason has effed up somebody, but he doesn't remember how he does that. I think that's a nonsense line that we will get to it a little later. That's just, it's just like if in case you were questioning, here's that line to tell you why Mason still knows this stuff.
Right.
It's like, oh my gosh. So easy to just paint over whatever they want us to know. But yes, Mason jumps out of the plane, followed by Davik. They, you know, they're having trouble, you know, Carter's having trouble getting the sub to come topside in the amount of time he needs to. But at the last minute, he gets the sub to come out of the water just in time for Mason to rip his chute. He gets to the sub, but because Mason is still Kyle, he can't exactly do it. So he ends up like hitting the sub or whatever.
Yep.
But Nye says, don't worry, we have a tether line I'm going to use to suction cup you to the sub.
Yeah, like, okay, you can control his Spidey suit basically from the plane. I just was like, where is this coming from?
Who knows? Don't worry, we have a tether line. So they tether him to the sub, and Davik pulls him up to the sub. So Davik and Mason get to the access point. Mason puts his thumb up to the thing, and it reads his thumb. and he lets him gain access to the sub. So once the little sub hatch opens up, Dalek's like, all right, cool. This is all I need you for, so bye-bye. Instead of just, I don't know, killing Mason right there,
yeah,
he throws his parachute so that the wind catches Mason's parachute and just flies him over to some other part of the sub where he gets caught on some antenna or something. So he's kind of just dangling there.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So Nadia's like, uh-oh, this isn't good. Something's wrong. I got to go save Mason. And then so the Manticore agents come out and say, I don't think so, lady. And she says, I don't think so till you think so. So she special agents stuff and kills all the people trying to stop her from, you know, going down to the sub.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, Carter replies, well, you know, you just killed the pilot, right? She's like, oh, the plane can fly itself, right? Yep, totally. It can. Back on the sub, Davik is, he's messing around with the sub. He's doing something with the controls.
Yeah.
Dahlia calls him up for a status report. And, I mean, this is Davik's moment. He says, do you really think that you could kill my brother and suffer no repercussions?
Oh, snap.
Davik's gonna do something. He says, listen, I have these missiles set to 5 Manticore family compounds. Unless you get me at a seat at the table, Manticore will burn.
Oh my goodness. Davik, well, big ups for like defending your brother. Like that's good.
But he didn't really though.
Also, like, how did you learn to set the coordinates for the missile?
Because everybody knows everything in this show, okay? Everyone has to know how to do all of this stuff. And it's like, you kill my brother, I'm going
to
kill you.
Prepare
you
to
kill
die.
My brother, now give me a seat at the table. Like, do we really need to kill your brother to get you to do this? Like, you could have just done this anyway.
Yes,
just
agreed.
Give me a seat at the table, I'm going to kill you all. So Dahlia one-ups him and says, listen, listen, dummy. We don't negotiate with traitors. And by the way, I have hacked the steering on this sub. So I can just sink you into the Mariana Trench before you can even detonate the nukes, and you're going to be killed by the very nukes that you're trying to set off. And just hangs up on them. Dog's like, damn, didn't think that through.
This was insane. This was, I can't even find words. The words have failed me in trying to explain or justify or find any reasoning as to why the show did something like this.
In a show of unnecessary moments, this
yes!
is just another of the unnecessary moments that came and went like nothing.
Yeah, I was like, okay, and now
as far
what?
As I can, as far as I can tell, we did not need Davik and Anders to be twins. This could have all been one singletary person, and you know, you just don't kill Davik or Anders, whoever, whatever
right.
one person you want it to be, when he tries to, you know, get Bernard out of there. You didn't even need to get Bernard out of there. We didn't even need the Anders Celeste storyline, because that really was nothing.
I mean, unless it comes into play in the next season, but yeah, in this season, I don't know why, other than to tell us that Celeste, well, we knew that anyway. Celeste was a spy.
Yeah.
See her in action, I guess.
I just cannot comprehend why this was needed, because it really wasn't. Okay, so we get Kyle comes on board now, and after Davik gets the news that he's not going to be able to really blackmail or extort Dahlia and the people, and
yeah.
Kyle's like, aims his weapon at Davik, but Davik's like, Kyle Conroy, what are you going to do? So he tries to come at Mason to, you know, mess him up or whatever, because he doesn't think Mason's going to pull the trigger on him, which Mason does not, by the way. So before Davik can get to Mason, Nadia pops out of nowhere and just knocks Davik out. We never saw Nadia jump out the plane. We never saw her get on the sub. She's just on the sub now.
Yep. I wonder what that conversation was like. Like, should we get a stunt double for her? Should we shoot this? Are we running out of money? Oh, just have her be on the sub.
Yeah, she just pops up. Okay.
Yeah.
By the way, I think most of the budget from this show, which we know this show was the second most expensive show since Lord of the Rings, blah blah blah. I think all of it went on the sub mission. On the outdoor sub mission.
Yeah,
that's where the
between
money
that went. And all of the different locations, like even in this episode, there's like 8 locations, and that takes time and money to put together.
True. So Carter tells Nadia, "Listen, we need to get the cores, and we're actually going to need your body temperature to reach the same temperature as the room that the subs are located, because if there's any, you know, slight difference in body temperature in that room, the nukes will shut down. So we need to get your body temperature to 106 degrees so that you match the temperature in the war room. Like, okay.
This, like, that's a new mechanic, I guess. Yeah.
He says, listen, you need to do this. And she, I guess she injects herself with something to make her body temperature 106 degrees, which, you know, if you've ever had a bad, really, really, really bad fever, you know, sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, that's gotta not feel great.
Yeah. Carter literally tells her, you need to do this, get in and out before you boil alive.
Yeah.
So she gets in. She's not feeling great. She's sweaty, which will tell us that her body temperature is now 106. She's getting real, you know, real lethargic, wavy, real wonky. Yeah. She gets one out. Okay, good, good, good.
Okay, but can we talk about this? Like, the core of the missile is a frisbee.
It's a little round disc.
Basically. And I was like, and don't you think, like, you have to be, like, super careful and, like, not move? And she's just like, open it up, bloop, one.
Yeah, she's just taking a little bloop, laser out, just lasering into a nuclear sub. Just like, near, 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 near. So she's removing the cores. Meanwhile, Mason still has his gun on Davik. Davik, you know, wakes up out of his, you know, knocking out that Nadia just gave him. So, you know, Mason and Davik tussle for the gun for a little while. Mason's trying to fight back, but Davik is really getting the upper hand at this point, because let's remember, Mason is still Kyle Conroy, and Kyle Conroy don't know how to fight,
right?
Basically.
Right.
Back with Nadia. She has gotten four of the cores out now. Needs to get the fifth one before she blacks out, which seems very imminent. Carter says, listen, you only got 20 seconds to get this core out. And she's not looking good. Carter's kind of working, kind of doing a dual jobs here. He's back, going back and forth with Nadia and Mason. So now Carter's like, listen, Mason,
yeah,
listen, the backstop only erased your memories, but it did not erase your skills. You need to fight back.
Talk about a pep talk, you know, and also information that could have been relayed sooner.
I mean, I don't know. It just makes no sense.
I mean, besides it not making sense, like, this is the time you tell him. Like, yes, he showed it when the Tooch, like, threw the knife at him, and, like, mm-hmm, apparently he forgot that as yeah, well.
Apparently he has reflexes that he forgot from a couple days before.
I don't understand. I mean, there's a lot I don't understand, but I just thought that this was, like, a very interesting pep talk from Carter.
Yeah. Carter then switches back to Nadia and says, Nadia, you got 5 seconds to get the core out. And what do you know? She does it right in time. She gets the core out, you know, crisis averted. She is, you know, the launch is canceled, blah, blah, blah.
But she's, like, in medical distress.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because she's still on the verge, burning up. Yeah.
She's on the verge of blacking out. Carter comes back to Kai's like, listen, you are still Mason Kane and you have to fight back. And this unlocks basically Mason. He's just like, yeah, I'm Mason effing Kane.
Yeah.
And so he then proceeds to beat the shit out of Davik.
Yep.
And kills him with a, you know, nice little stab to the abdomen. So Davik seems to be dead. I mean, you know, who really knows with this show? Davik could pop up next season and be just fine.
Or someone that looks like him.
Yeah, this could be a triplet that we don't know about. Carter then tells Mason, listen, you need to go grab Nadia because she is passed the F out. You need to get her some adrenaline and get her out of there because we got Russian subs on the way. Y'all need to leave now. So Mason gets in there. He gets his little, I don't know, what is it called? Epinephrine?
That's epinephrine, but
If you ever seen the movie Crank with Jason Statham, you know, you know this thing. He gets the adrenaline out of his little bag and stabs her with the adrenaline, and she gets her heart rate back to normal, so she's apparently fine now.
That's it. And also, way to have that just conveniently available for you. Like,
I mean, I guess that's in the Citadel, like, kit, you know?
Along with the tethering thing and, like, everything. Like, everything was just so conveniently available.
Of course. This is that show. Everything happens conveniently. Everything is exactly what happens when it needs to happen. Just coincidentally and conveniently. So they get up topside to the sub and they get picked up by the plane. Mission accomplished. They got the cores. Davik's dead. We're all good to go. We get picked up. We're on our way to Valencia.
Yep.
And then we flash back to 8 years ago, Citadel HQ. This is apparently right after the mission. Mason enters the command center and Gray says, "What's up? Why'd you go dark? What's going on? And why don't we have control of the sub like we should have?" Mason says, "Well, because I initiated a second protocol that only I can access. And I will give it up if you just tell me where Nadia is." He really needs to know where Nadia is. He wants to know. I don't know what he's going to do when he finds Nadia. Just, I guess, beg for her to come back to him. Whatever. But he is very insistent and on the verge of, like, crazy.
He's getting real aggressive about it, too.
Yes, very.
Like, okay, all right. Bro, also, we still don't know what happened, but all right.
She's just not that into you, bro.
Yeah.
Grace, you know, she sticks with her Berlin story. Listen, I told you, Nadia is in Berlin. And she says, "Listen, Mason, you need some help, man. You got to speak to somebody. You already lost Nadia. Don't lose yourself, too."
Good advice.
Mason, yeah, of course. Mason kind of grumbles and just walks off. Then back in the present, they're on the way to make the exchange. Nadia is acting weird or whatever. In Valencia, we're at the exchange. Carter, like a freaking spider monkey, I don't know what's going on with Carter, but he climbs up this thingy with like no ladder. I don't know if he's wearing some like high tech suction gloves or something, but he spider monkeys his way up to this, like, to a good vantage point where, like, a high up vantage point where he can have eyes all over everyone to, I guess, kind of be the backup in a way.
He's like a sniper shot.
He's got a sniper rifle. He's ready to do whatever needs to be done. We see Dahlia. She's on the line with Christoph, who we met last episode, who I guess is one of the heads or associate head of one of the five families or whatever.
Telling Dahlia that the families are upset. Like,
yeah,
that's not good.
So Dahlia says, "Listen, they have the cores. They're there. And, you know, I hope the families are pleased." Christoph says, "Well, listen, your guy Davik almost screwed this whole thing up. So we'll see how pleased the families are going to be after this whole thing's over. All right." Yeah. It's like, okay. They get there. Carter says, "I got you guys. You got you in the sights. I got all the people that I need to get. You guys, a little sniper rifle." They bring so we get there. Nadia says, "Where's my daughter?" Up above them on like an overpass, some guy brings out Asha and he's got a gun to her head, basically saying, "Try anything funny." The little kid gets it
and like almost like holds her over this bridge, like she's dangling at one point.
Nadia and Mason present the cores. They say, "All right, here are the cores, give us the kid." And not so fast. It seems as something has been encrypted on the cores.
Whoa.
And we get the flashback to Mason putting the code on the cores, because as if we forgot 10 minutes earlier that we saw him do this. He says, "Look, I don't know how to unlock it. I'm not really Mason anymore. But you can do whatever you want to me to get Mason out of me. Just don't hurt the girl." What would we do to get Mason out of you? What are you even saying right now?
I have no idea. Like, beat him up. Like, is it that easy? Like, will all of your memories come back if you're like beat to a pulp? I don't
understand. Beat the Mason out of me, please.
Yeah, like,
just don't hurt the girl. So in this moment, Nadia says, "Carter, take the shot." So Carter, because he's such a great shot, he was just an analyst. I don't know why he's such a great shot. He seemed to be a tech guy. He takes out the assassin that was holding a gun to Asha, which, as you mentioned, they were perilously close to the edge of that bridge. And so him being shot pretty much makes him drop Asha from whatever overpass they were on. And Mason springs into action and he catches Asha as she's falling from the bridge, and she's safe. And while he's doing this, Nadia decides to cap the rest of the crew that's showed up with all the Manticore agents that are showing up, except for Christoph, who gets away. Nadia reunites with Asha, hugs her, and I'm thinking at this moment, Asha's like, "Who are you, lady? I don't know who you are. Why are you hugging me as if, you know, you're some person I should know?" Because let's remember, Asha has not seen Nadia since she was a little bitty baby.
Yeah.
You know, Nadia is relieved. She thanks Mason. And then, 8 years ago, we see Mason and Bernard in London walking across a, what would you call this? Not a beach, but like,
it's like a riverbed.
Like a riverbed type of thing. There, Bernard's looking through stuff, getting random little trinkets off the ground or whatever. They have some banter back and forth. Mason asks how his kid is. Bernard talks about protecting children, keeping them safe, blah, 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 blah. and then Bernard gives Mason kind of a packet of stuff. It's got pictures of Nadia and Asha. And he tells Mason, listen, I went to the address that you provided me and I found Nadia and she has a daughter. And Mason realizes, oh, so that's why she left to have our baby.
Bernard is like, yeah, that's your daughter. And it's like so dramatic. Like it's quintessential Stanley Tucci look down, look up situation. It was like, okay, the Tucci is bringing it. Let's see if like in the acting volley, if it can be returned. No, it cannot.
It cannot. Mason didn't, what's his name? Richard Madden did not go to the same, to the Tuch school of acting.
He like has like no expression on his face. None. And he just like looks up. I guess that's why she left.
Oh, she left to have like, her baby.
You've just found out you had a daughter. There's even a smile or anything.
No real reaction, no real surprise, no real upsetness. Just
or
like,
concern or.
She had a kid.
Cool. Oh, that's how it's going to be. That's how it's going to be.
In the packet that Bernard has given to Mason is also a plane ticket to Spain. Mason says, yeah, I don't think so. She made her decision. If she didn't think I was good enough to be a father, he's basically gonna honor that.
Get over yourself. No.
So you want him to go find her?
Yeah. Like it's his daughter also. Like if you're going.
Yeah.
No.
True.
Like this is not acceptable.
He's just like, I guess I'll just have a kid out there.
No, you're chicken. You don't want to go have the conversation. You don't want to see what your life could be. You're just putting it all on Nadia to be like, oh, you made your decision. I guess I'll honor it. Thinking he's being chivalrous or whatever crap. When the thing, like Nadia also wants him to show up. I have lots of strong feelings about this, apparently.
But now he wants to honor Nadia's decision to like have a baby without him. He wasn't about to honor her decision of not seeing him.
Or yes, exactly. Or like not be engaged / change of relationship throughout the thing. Like we'll talk about that, but like I don't understand.
Like now that the baby's in the picture, he's like, whoa, too much for me. I'm not trying to be a dad right now. I'm gonna dodge that responsibility real quick.
That kid deserves a conversation from her parents about what they're gonna do. And his putting it all on Nadia was not my favorite move.
He was like, oh, a kid? Oh, no, I'm not about that. No. I'm gonna leave her to that. I'm good.
Yeah.
Bernard still tries to convince him to go and try and be a part of his kid's life. We don't really get a definitive answer of what happened, but I swear I can recall Carter in the episode or two ago saying that Mason met up with Nadia and that that's how they knew she was with Rahi. Is that Nadia's dad's name?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
I recall Carter saying that. So I'm wondering, did he go and did the show forget that? Shouldn't we have
maybe
a scene?
Our memories are being erased.
You know,
watching the show.
You know, I did the other day. I was doing dishes and I got like this weird feeling. I felt this red.
Oh, no.
And you know, then I just forgot all my life. But then I, you know, my wife came in and told me who I was. Like, okay, I guess I'll just go with that. So that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
I was backstopped. Yes, damn.
Exactly.
And I don't know if I want my memories back if it involves a syringe in the base of my neck.
That whole thing. I also.
Like, I'm good. I'm good, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll just remember through pictures or something. I don't need a needle in my neck. Thank you.
Show me the movie of my life. It'll be.
Yeah. I'm 51st dates me. You know, every day I wake up, I get a new video of what my life was like. I'm good with that. Once again, back in the present, Nadia is talking to Asha. Asha, who is taking all this very calmly and very cool.
This little eight-year-old
is taking this very calmly. She's like, Where's Nana, who I thought was a grandma, but apparently
it's grandpa.
Grandpa. And she says, listen, grandpa is tough. He's going to find his way back to us. And she's like, huh, funny. That's what he used to say about you, mom.
Listen,
so apparently
they're built for this, apparently.
Like, don't you think we could have gotten a great heart-touching scene of Nadia telling Asha that she was her mother? Because...
No, because the show has no emotions.
None. Do you think they shot the scene and it was just like, ooh, Priyanka cannot do heartwarming, cannot do this type of thing. We'll just cut that out and we'll just assume it happened off camera.
I don't know, because like if they put that in but not emotions at other places, I don't even know.
It's just this kid has now been like up, she's now up to date. Nadia's her mom, and it's just like, it's all good.
Yeah, she's like, yada, yada, yada. This is who I am.
Yeah, and I mean, you can tell there's some, like, Mason is looking at Asha, and Nadia, I guess, at that moment, chooses not to tell Asha that this guy sitting across from her is her dad. Because probably they shot that scene, too, and was like, oh, this is not going to work.
Too much. It's too much.
Yeah, we just won't tell her in the story. back at Dahlia's, we find we get Dahlia's assistant or whatever saying, listen, Kristoff's not answering any of our calls.
This was insane. It's so dark in the scene.
So
like,
dark.
She's like sitting in the dark and then talking off camera to her assistant.
Well, the assistant comes in. You just can't see her.
Oh, you can't see her. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay.
She's just silhouetted in complete darkness. She's like, too quiet. No. And the assistant says, you know, there's going to be repercussions to this. Is that your job, assistant, to tell me there's going to be repercussions to this? Dahlia says, I know there's going to be repercussions, but the key is to adapt and be dead before they arrive. Which we then get, that gets intercut with a scene of them driving away from the mansion / compound they're at, and the mansion / compound just being then exploded.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So that leaves me questions. Like, did you stage that explosion? Was the explosion done by the people coming after you?
I think she staged it. I think she staged it because she was talking about like how you have to adapt before they get here. And so, and I think she's trying to fake her own death.
So,
which means, she lived in a house that was always wired for explosives, because there's no way she could have set that up.
But if I'm a Manticore person, if I'm given the assignment to go kill Dahlia because she messed up, I get to the house, it's been exploded. I'm like, oh, I guess somebody else did it.
Jason, don't think too hard. Like, don't Marissa this.
I can't help it. They're supposed to just think like, oh, I guess someone did it for me before I got here. I guess you killed herself by blowing up her mansion.
Yeah, that's it. Bye.
That makes no sense. No sense. What makes more sense would be like if we blew up her house, but she escaped before we blew it up. Then I could
think, that's the evasion, that's the adaption. I guess
maybe I could think that we killed her by blowing up her house. None of this makes sense.
Well, I mean, yes, agreed. I don't know what the answer is because it does not make sense. Obviously, we had two very different reads of the same situation and they never clarified.
Well, I don't know what my read is. My read could be either one of those things, that they blew it up or she blew it up herself. I just don't know what sense it would make for her to blow it up herself if someone's coming.
Yeah,
after
I am going more towards the she got out in time type of thing,
I guess. But that's kind of a like, what is it called? A gun being used to kill a fly rather than a fly swatter.
Oh,
that
yeah.
Seems to be a big reaction to blow up a whole house instead of like just sending in an assassin or something to kill her. Like, why blow up a whole house?
I don't know.
We're going to move on because we will never know. We come over to Nadia, Mason, Carter, and Asha. They all arrive at the old Citadel HQ, which has been just demolished and destroyed. And out of nowhere, Hendrix pops up dead. Hendrix, who is, in case you all forgot, Mason / Kyle's daughter and Abby, just have popped up here. I don't know if this was arranged. I don't know if the...
I have no idea. There's also the most, like, this place is demolished. Like, there's nothing.
I mean, it looks like it was attacked. I think it was attacked.
Yeah. Probably. Yeah. But then, like, before Hendrix shows up, Carter is sitting down with a microscope.
Doing what?
I have no idea.
Who knows? I guess we're gonna figure out in a minute. But like,
it was like, how did
this just pops up? And we also could not afford to bring what's her name? Jo. Who was Bernard's ex-wife, mm-hmm. and her wife, who we were really never introduced to.
Nope.
Just a random black lady who apparently is Joe's wife. Apparently, we could not afford their day rates for the day to have them on set, because where are they? What happened to them?
She was not on The Lion King, okay? Like,
you know what would have been so cool for this? Like, Jo and her wife are on their way to find Bernard, mm-hmm. and rescue him. Because,
yes.
spoiler alert, y'all, we have no idea.
Don't Bernard stop went. Bernard.
No, the Tooch is gone, okay? The Tooch had one scene where the flashback scene or whatever with Mason. Other than that, he gone. We have no idea.
When was the last time we saw him? Was he tied up? Yeah.
As I think she said, bring him to Brazil?
Oh, he's probably going to show up in the Brazil show.
Maybe, but that's just... ugh.
I know.
I just... how could you... and you would think they would... if that's the case, they would use that, right? To kind of backdoor us into the Brazil one. To say, like, this is where Bernard is. This is what's going to happen with Bernard. Nothing. Nothing. He's just not here in the present day storyline. We don't know. I just think it would have been cool if Jo and her wife were like, Jo, her wife, and their kid, by the way, who's also MIA, like, all right, we're going to go rescue Bernard. We're going to go get him back. But no, we have no idea how this came about. Abby and Hendrix just pop up out of nowhere. We're like, oh, okay, I guess they're here now for reasons unknown.
I don't know how they got there. And also, it was like super dangerous. Like,
yeah.
It is like running through like a demolished situation.
Yeah.
I'm like, come on. This okay.
So
they're here. Moving on.
Mason/Kyle is so happy to see Hendrix. He picks her up. He's like, oh, I'm so happy you're here. Much to Nadia's kind of chagrin. She's like, whatever. Hmm. His wife and child are here. And so, you know, everyone's reunited. Carter and Nadia are we're told that they're shocked that Abby is Celeste, but there is no read on the faces that they're shocked that Abby is Celeste. I think that would have been a bigger deal, right?
Yeah. Like, I mean, the only thing we hear is Carter say, how is she his wife?
Right.
Or something like that. Like, or how is he married to her? And Nadia's just like, has a flashback and is like, I don't know.
Stone-faced, like,
okay.
I just so now this other nonsense comes into play, and Carter says, hey, guess what, I figured out a way to restore Mason's memories back. I know that we said that the vials that were in the case, which where'd the case go? We have no idea.
No idea.
I know I said that the vials in the case are the only ways to get the memories back. If that's gone, then your memories are just nowhere to be found. But never mind that. I figured out a different way to get your memories back, because I have a backup. Okay.
In this demolished house with this microscope and what supplies?
Hey, Carter's like MacGyver. He can do whatever he needs to do with very minimal supplies. She goes, all right, Mason, I mean, good news. Got
I buy that back. For like breaking into something, but not giving someone their memories back.
I mean, he seemingly did it with nothing. He's like, I got your memories back. We can do this right now. Oh, okay. Just out of the blue. Mason and Abby are, I guess, need to have a conference about this. They do it in a different room. They debate whether he should do it or not. He says, I kind of have to, because I don't know who he is. Abby says, no, you know who you are. You're Kyle Conroy. You're my husband. You're a father. And he says, well, none of that's going to change if I do this. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, a lot's going to change, because you're going to get 30, you know, what? I don't know, 22-ish years. No, 30 years 30-ish, of memories back, basically.
Yeah.
Which will change a lot, I'm sure. No matter what the memories are, it's going to change a lot.
Yeah.
But he takes
does he retain the Kyle memories? Like,
I think he will. I think he'll still remember everything that happened while he was Kyle, but he'll just get this other 30 years of memories, you know, back into his system, I guess.
Okay.
So Mason, you know, sits down, takes his little memory injection, and the memories all come flooding back. We see all the stuff we've seen before. You know, in the show,
the train, yeah. The engagement, the
when he was a little boy,
yeah, the kitchen scene when he finds Nadia, yeah. All of the stuff.
But this is a lot for him, so he pretty much just gets up and just hightails into another room. He goes to another room. Then we get more memories that we haven't seen before. He remembers Bernard giving him the ticket, but he gives the ticket back to him. And Bernard says, listen, I just went to this address that you told me to go to. How did you know where she was? Which is what I was also wondering, because Bernard did say he just went to the address that Mason gave him. At that point, I was like, is this just going to be sloppy and we're just not going to know? But no, they come back to it and they give us the reasoning. So from that flashback, we get another flashback we're incepted in flashbacks. We're in a flashback in a flashback. Yeah. So we flash to Mason meeting up with Dahlia 8 years ago. Okay. They banter a little. Mason talks about, you know, I watched you all these years and what you've become. And Dahlia says, you look just like him. And it's at this moment, I'm just like, yep. Called it. Yeah. Called it. And just Mason says, I have to ask you for a favor. You told me once that I could call you anytime for anything. And Dahlia says, oh, I just thought that, you know, today of all days, you were calling me for something else, which I don't know. Maybe it's the anniversary of the bombing. I don't know. Whatever it was. Mason says, I need to find a woman. Talia says, aren't you a spy? Why are you coming here asking a diplomat to do something a spy could do? Good point, Dahlia. Good point. It's because Mason sucks at his job.
I love her next question, though, because it's like, why are you doing this? And then also, like, do you love her? Yeah. Like, zero to 60.
Do you love her? Mason says, well, she is my wife. Now,
since when?
Stop the presses.
Since when?
Because as far as we knew, he just asked her to marry him, gave her this big, big, gaudy rock of a ring
that she refused,
that she gave back to him at some point. So am I supposed to think that in between him giving her the ring and her tossing the ring back at them, that they actually got married?
Why would she give the ring back then? As like,
well, I mean, because that's her wedding ring and she gave like it back to him.
I mean, okay,
I guess never filed divorce proceedings. I don't know.
I don't know.
But I mean, listen, if you're asking me what the options are, is it a scene that we never saw, or this show is just sloppy in its continuity and inconsistent? I'm going to go with the sloppy continuity, yeah, and inconsistent over, I don't know. They just, that again would be us writing the show for them. Like, there was some secret wedding that we didn't see on the show.
Unless, listeners, if you actually viewed the show and we totally missed it, which is also kind of possible because the show's kind of all over the place, mm-hmm, let us know. But to the best of our knowledge, they were never married. They came close to getting married, but were never.
Yeah. Married. I mean, he asked her to marry him and then we saw the scene in the restaurant. That seems to be like not a lot in between there that we may have missed, but hey, anything's possible. I'm just shocked that he said this is his wife. Okay.
Yeah. Is that why he was so upset about all the other stuff? I don't know. I have no idea.
I don't know. They seem to have had this life off camera that we have no idea about, right? He can only be himself with her for some reason. We never saw. This show needed two more episodes to really give us backstory for these people.
Did it though?
I mean, listen. That would be another two we had to watch.
It means, I think, like, you could have done it in six if you used the time a little bit more effectively. There was some stuff, like, we did not need to see Carter's memory of that being picked up in the cell like 500 times. I'm not saying that the time would be equivalent, but there was some things you could have cut out and given us more from.
And maybe, I mean, if you lengthened the time of the show to an hour,
yeah,
and you gave us more background or backstory of Mason and Nadia's relationship, I think that would have done wonders for the show, because as of right now, I don't know why either one of these people loved each other or why they feel so dedicated to each other. It doesn't ring true at all to me.
The only thing we got was like, are you scared because I can see your...
But that came out of nowhere.
Right, exactly. We didn't get anything.
Those are meaningless words if we can't see why he's saying these words.
Right.
it makes no sense. And it's well, the top thing that frustrates me about this series, that there's just no background story, no background feeling of why we should be into these two. Why should we root for them as a couple? Why should we root for them over Kyle and Abby? Who are we hoping gets Kyle's heart? We don't care.
We at least know more about Kyle and Abby than we do about Mason and Nadia. Like, I know that Abby likes The Bachelor and they had a happy life in Oregon.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I don't care about either of them.
Nothing rings true in the emotional capacity of this story.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
So yeah, Mason says, I need you to help me find Nadia. This is his wife. He needs to find her. Dahlia says, listen, I will find her for you, because I know how devastating it is to lose someone you love. And she's recalling, I remember waking up from the explosion while I was dreaming. I remember my husband, Thomas, in flames. And this is where we're supposed to, this is the puzzle pieces locking into place. She says, yes, my husband, Thomas, was in flames. I couldn't put it out. And they grafted my skin. Made me feel like they reorganized me, but I still had those awful memories. So now we get more. Okay, this is why her arm is all messed up. This is where that came from. Mason says, so why didn't you go home afterwards? She says, well, I wasn't the same person after, and that wasn't her home. Mason asks her about her. Like, what about you? Are you still my mother? And he says it in a British accent.
And then goes like right back yeah. to America. It's like, she's all like, the Queen's English is not something you put away.
Yeah.
So bad.
They let little Richard Madden use his use his home accent for a minute. And when he says, oh, there's my boy. I thought I lost you over the years. He says, not lost, just buried.
Jesus.
In his best emotional
emotionless emotion.
Yes, there you go. That's a good phrase for it. Dahlia says, yeah, I thought you gave up on what you were. And he says, like you did. Oh, shade. Dahlia says, this is what Citadel does. They take those you love the most. And Mason thinks about, she's talking about Nadia. He says, no, it's your father that I'm talking about. Because Citadel, I know Citadel says they're targeting a Serbian sleeper cell. But they were told that it was a car bomb that's been set off is what caused this whole explosion and caused her to lose her husband. But it was actually a joint task between Citadel and NATO that fired upon them. But they fired upon them because they had the wrong coordinates and accidentally blew a bunch of UN families and civilians. Which, I mean, Citadel is a terrible spy organization.
Yeah. Also, don't bring NATO into it. Like, I don't understand why we had to do that. Like, it was fine with Citadel just messing it up on their own.
Oh my, and so, you know, they had the wrong coordinates, blew up a bunch of UN families and civilians, but then Citadel blackmailed NATO, the UN, and the CIA to keep this all under wraps. And the world let Citadel take the man she loved. But Mason, you could stop them. You have access to all of Citadel's secrets. And you could use them to bring this into the light. And we could take their secrets and open an investigation to Citadel and get justice for everyone. I can't get over how bad of a spy organization Citadel is. They hired Mason as a spy who was obviously unhinged. They let their spy guy take access of the sub they wanted.
Yep.
And just was like, okay, sure. And they accidentally blew up UN families and civilians. Oops, sorry, we had the wrong coordinates.
It's probably before Bernard was there.
Who knows, man? This Citadel sucks. Citadel's terrible.
Yeah, well, and going forward with what happens next, like, they let Mason just take all this data.
Yeah. Like, why does Mason have access to this? I know that he's a quote unquote tier one, but why does he have the identities of all Citadel agents? Why is that access given to him?
Is that access you get after completing a Red Cell mission?
Good job, Mason. You completed your Red Cell mission, even though you went against our orders in your Red Cell mission. Why is Mason still, you know, a Citadel agent after that?
I have no idea.
Like, he totally went rogue, but everything's cool. He's still a Citadel agent. What?
It is Citadel knows.
Like, is
keeping him around? I don't know. I can't make sense of it. I tried.
Oh my god, it's so terrible. So basically, Mason has done this because his girlfriend broke up with. I'm sorry, his wife, fiance, sure. Whatever. Broke up with him, so he's butthurt about it. So now he's going to turn over all of Citadel's secrets to his mummy, who's a bad guy. For Citadel did nothing to him, really. I mean, we do
took
find
his dad. Well, took they took his dad. His dad,
and even so, like Dahlia is talking about how Citadel is a bunch of bad people, murderers, but this was an accident.
yeah. I mean, I can't. It's hard to know who to trust, which is, I know what they were trying to do with this is like, well, everybody's bad. Everybody's good. Who are you going to root for? Keep watching to find out.
It's a terrible premise for a storyline.
Yes.
The motivations don't match up. It sucks.
And it comes out of nowhere.
Yeah, comes out of nowhere. We then see Dahlia giving the order to take out all Citadel agents because she now has the info. And just to cement it, the person on the other end of the line says, where did you even get all this information? And she says, Mason Kane. Da-na-na-na.
Super dramatic. She's like standing in front of a railing and like it's lit from in front of her. And so she's got like just the silhouette. It was like, wait. It didn't need to be that dramatic.
Yeah. So then we come back to the present. Mason is in, which seems to maybe have been an interrogation room at some point.
Yeah,
the room is just, you know, messed up and crazy. But he's in front of a mirror, which you find out is a two-way mirror. Because Nadia is on one side watching him through the mirror. And on the other side is Mason. And Abby comes into the room with Mason. And she says, do you remember? And he says he doesn't know. And goes to hug Abby while Nadia watches on. End of show. What? You don't know if you remember?
It was a very sincere I don't know. And there was a hug.
Yeah.
It was like an I don't know. But I need a hug. And Nadia's just like standing there watching him, but he doesn't know that she's there. And Nadia knows that he knows now. And is Nadia going to be like, why are you hugging my husband? Because
does Nadia know that he knows?
I don't know.
What if, I mean, I could see next season we come back to this moment and Mason goes, I don't know, Carter. I guess it didn't work. Because I don't remember anything from my previous life.
Do you think he's that smart? I mean, Mason is, I guess. I don't know.
I guess he's supposed to be. But I think, you know, call this from episode 2, right? That Mason is the spy. That Dahlia was his mom.
Yeah.
And, you know, I could see why it was Mason. Because this really gives an out to Kyle/Mason. Because this is not the person we know. So this is not a bad guy. This is Kyle Conroy, who doesn't know he was a bad guy. So he could still be our hero of the story. Yeah. So I could see why they would do that, which is why it just would be my initial thought about why Mason was a spy, because we can still make Richard Madden the hero of the story if he doesn't remember that he was a bad guy. But I think now, in season 2, he can be a bad guy. He can just still pretend to be a good guy, which is interesting. But I just wish that they had somebody that could better pull it off, because I do not have faith.
I know
that Richard Madden could pull that off.
I know. I mean, he does have the "I am thinking nothing" face down.
Oh yes, yeah,
that one he's got
to a point. He's got it.
But I mean, we are living in an age where I mean, spoilers-ish for Yellow Jackets, there's characters that have multiple personalities going on, and you can tell with just their facial expressions who they are portraying in that situation. Like, the bar is high. The bar is high. And this is like, this is, that's an unconscious, switch, I guess. But this would be a conscious one where he'd be in control of who he is at what time. I have no idea how this is going to go. But there is going to be a second. Well, there's going to be the Italian. I think we have Italy, Brazil, and India. And then I don't know if it's and then more Mason and Nadia, or if Mason and Nadia will be in between those ones. But I do.
Or if they're going to be connected at all. Like, is Citadel Diana set before the fall of Citadel?
I don't know.
Because, I mean, as we've been told, there aren't any more Citadel agents except for Nadia and Mason. But Citadel has such a
And
bad track
Carter.
record, and Carter, and Citadel has such a bad track record of keeping track of their people. I would not be surprised if there's a lot more that we don't know about.
Yeah, I have a feeling like Diana will come over in like one of them, and then they'll team up on something. Yeah, so that was Citadel. Jason, I know you found out also a thing about the titles of the episodes.
Yeah, so I read online that you're supposed to read the titles of the of the episodes, and they're supposed to make a secret message. So each first letter of each word of the episode makes a word. So the first episode, which was the human enigma, you take the first letters of each of those, it's the, and so on and so forth. For the other five episodes, it spells out the saint is the sinner.
Yeah,
The
I'll
saint
say
is the
that.
true, sorry, the saint is the true sinner.
Yeah, I mean, again, it wouldn't be a Citadel podcast if we didn't mention Alias. But Alias also did this with their title, with their locations.
I
There's
think Breaking
like,
Bad did the same thing at some point, or Better Call Saul maybe.
But
That was
like they like
hinting
put
at
it.
at Gus coming on Better Call Saul.
They put it like on the screen and you could like play along with it. This you have to like literally look at the app and pay attention
And
to.
no one's doing that for Citadel.
No. Also, to be mentioned, I just want the listeners to know we did not watch all eight of the behind the scenes episodes for this six episode series. But if you are looking for more Citadel content, you can find it on Amazon Prime.
Be doing that. But I did watch the ones that, I did watch a couple of them. And even as I watched those, as the creators and the stars talk about the show, I was like, what show did you watch? Because that's
See,
not.
there's like an untold story here.
Yeah, there's a lot that happened, I think, that was left on the cutting room floor that may or may not have spelled things out a little more clearly for us and given us a better product overall. I just think, and the funny thing is, like, when I watched the episode today, a promo for the final season of Jack Ryan started before my show. I was like, okay. And the Jack Ryan show, I like the Jack Ryan show a lot. And I was like, see, this show, the Jack Ryan show, is a good spy show. They know how to do it. Citadel does not.
I wonder. I mean, we'll have to see when season two. Like, what if season two is everything that wasn't in season one? Like,
Meaning.
what that's already filmed?
I don't know.
All of these whole, like all of these plot holes that we talked about, or scenes that we think that we should have, or something like that. Like, what if
That would be a
they're?
terrible idea
It
if
would be
that was what's happening.
100%. Yeah, but I mean, we're talking what we just watched. I don't think that's what it's going to be, but it wouldn't put it past them, especially with the production rate that they're looking for and the production value that they've been spending on the show. Like, if they just filmed it all at once and then cut it into multiple seasons,
Could be. I
I don't
doubt it.
know.
But I think, and with the announcement of season two, because, I don't know if we said or not, but this has been officially renewed for season two. And I'm pretty sure that we came into this knowing we were going to season
Good.
two, but I guess they officially announced there's going to be a season two. And they also announced that season two is going to be, every episode is going to be directed by the Russo brothers. And
Oh.
they made sure to call that out, which is, I wonder if it's like, all right, we know y'all didn't like season one, okay? Our bad, but the Russo brothers are going to take a more hands-on approach try and make this better.
Well, they've got a tall order and they have time to make it happen. And we've, you know, enjoyed Rooster Brother content before. So I'm hopeful.
We have time for people, not going to name names, but to have people go to acting class. Not going to name names. Okay. We have time to send people to acting class and maybe brush up on our expressive emotions, on our, face
Your
acting.
Recap had more emotion than the show, so
hey, I try.
That's all I was saying.
But yes, that was one of Citadel. It was not all we had hoped for for a prestige action spy show.
Is that what it is?
That's what they want it to be.
There is, they did say the Citadel Spyverse.
Yes, it's going to be a whole multiverse.
Yes,
and I think if this was like a CBS procedural,
totally works.
I think it could have worked, but I think in the realm of all these other prestige shows that are out here, it just does not stack up whatsoever.
And especially, they made a really interesting choice in terms of releasing it now, because as we are recording this, we are one day out from the end of the series of Succession. We are one day behind, like coming up in the day is the end of Ted Lasso. We've got Mrs. Maisel ending and Barry ending. These are like huge shows that have held attention for quite a long time that were going on. Like, this show premiered around the same time as those shows in terms of that the season that they're on. We also had like season finales for Yellow Jackets. Like, these are huge shows. I wonder if they did it on purpose now that we've watched the show, given what we know about the show. Is like, hey, we got it out there, people can find it, people can find it when they need it, and then we'll just work, we'll go and work on making it better, because there was so much prestige television, mm-hmm. like truly prestige television out there, that this is not that.
Yeah, but it's like it's like releasing a movie to go up against a Marvel movie,
yes,
like
exactly.
Endgame. It's like, ooh, like, we didn't get a lot of returns on this. I wonder why. It's because there's something else that people would rather be watching.
But I wonder if they did it on purpose so that they can like just say like get it out and build on it, as opposed to, because if they have a long contract, if they know what they're doing in that aspect, if they weren't waiting, because as we talked about, we knew there was going to be a second season before it even aired. I wonder if it was like, pay no attention to the show we just put on the television.
I guess. I think it all comes back to quality, right?
For sure.
It's like, release date means nothing. If they release this at the same time as the final, season of Succession is starting, but it was good, people would pay attention and people would watch. People would be talking about it. I haven't heard any real buzz about Citadel whatsoever.
If you are listening to this podcast, can you please tweet to us just so that we know that there are people that have watched the show with us? That would
this
be
is
great.
Us, this is us sending up an SOS flag. Yeah. If anyone sees or hears this, please let us know.
It would be great.
Because it's
it
been
be
lonely great. Out here on the Citadel yeah. Island. Yeah, it would be great. Feels like we've just been in the abandoned, demolished Citadel HQ just waiting for someone to come rescue us.
Yeah, that would be fantastic if you could. I just would love to know your thoughts as well. Join the conversation.
Yeah, hit us up. Let us know. All right. Anything else about Citadel, Marissa, before we sign off for the season?
I'll be interested to see what happens. Well, if this is strong enough of a foundation to build the Spyverse on is questionable. I think it's going to take a couple of more shows to go. I like the premise of it. There is potential. Whether they can act on that potential is still up for debate.
Listen, the story of Mason now having his memories back and what he would do with that is an interesting conceit for a second season. It's about the execution, right? And I'm not sure if they have started production on this season or what, but I hope that the reaction of this season has given them a roadmap and given them a direction on which they can build upon and hopefully fix some of the issues that we have. And now that there may be a more steady hand at the wheel instead of, this behind the scenes drama, that we can have a better product of a show. So yeah. I will say that I will hold out hope for the second season. I think once the second season comes out, I think you'll hear from us.
We'll find out.
We'll see. It's still a ways away, obviously, but we'll see. So yeah, Marissa, you want to fill everybody in on what you are up to, where people can find you.
Sure. Yeah. So this week I was actually able to talk about Succession on the wrap up show prior to the finale. So if you are still catching up on that, you can find that here on Post Show Recaps. Also wrapped up Yellow Jackets coverage for season 2 with Jessica Sterling, and we'll be kicking off coverage of The Crowded Room with Adam H., which is a limited series on Apple Plus with Tom Holland and Amanda Seyfried. If you are interested in any of that and more, you can find me on Twitter at MarsBars, MarzBars. I will always be telling you what I'm up to. Jason, what about you? Besides trying to get a job at Amazon.
Yeah, I'm out there, y'all. I'm down. Just give me a call. You can find me on Twitter at JAYR1085. You can find me pretty much every week because the show, The Recovering, almost never ends. You can find me on the Rob Has Podcast for Hap Ups Network, talking about the show Married at First Sight on my podcast with Asia Welch, A Perfect Match. Find us over there as we talk about this ridiculous show. We break it all down for you. You don't even need to watch the show to find it, to really follow along with us. You could find me there. Other than that, that's pretty much what I'm up to nowadays. So signing off for the last time this season for Citadel. We hope to see y'all next season. And please remember, this podcast is self-destructive.